open wide. This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Please join us at 201 Southwest Flagler Avenue, Stuart at 9:30 a.m. each Sunday morning. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
Join Abundant Life Ministries Assembly of God Church at 9:30 this morning for services. We are currently meeting in a new location in the Wedgewood Commons Shopping Center. The address is 3204A Southeast Federal Highway, Stuart, Florida. That is in the north end of the Wedgewood Commons Shopping Center. The message today is entitled, Pursuing Your Purpose, Vision versus Purpose. Join me now as we go into a message that is already in process.
Psalm 91, verses 14 through 16. The Lord says, how many of you want to hear what the Lord says? I will rescue those who love me. Anyone in the house love the Lord this morning? The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. What is that name that's above all names? Jesus. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them and honor them. I will satisfy them with a long life. Long life. Say long life. Say a long, satisfied life. Not a long, miserable life, but a long, satisfied life. I will satisfy them with a long life and give them my salvation. Give them my salvation. Smith Wigglesworth, I was reading one day where he said, until the church recognizes that it's the enemy that is seeking to kill us and destroy us, until we recognize that and get angry enough to not accept the devil's deliveries and full of faith enough to trust God, we'll keep fighting these crazy battles. And let me tell you, we are under attack, but greater is He that's in us than he that is in the world. I know a couple Sundays back when I spoke about Enoch. Remember Enoch? He walked with God, right? And then he was not. He was not because God took him. That is one passage in the Bible that clearly says God took him. We say no to the enemy, no more, no more. When the enemy comes, let God arise and push him right out and say, we're not going to accept your delivery. I remember the mornings, used to hear the garbage truck, beep, 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 beep. You ever heard it in the morning? Beep, 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 beep. And I thought to myself, that's kind of obnoxious. And the Father said, that's exactly what you ought to say to the devil. He starts backing up to drop a delivery on your doorstep, at your house, over your mind, over your husband, your wife, your children. Say, no, 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 no. Wrong address. And the enemy may say, but you've always accepted it before. But say, I'm not accepting it anymore. Just because you accepted it before does not mean you need to accept it anymore. So we say no to the enemy. Over the last several weeks, as I have seen many godly people who have died, and I have heard repeatedly that the Lord took them. And I will say again, John 14 makes it clear that if you're a godly person, God is the one coming that will take you home. I know the Word of God. You know the Word of God. Jesus said, if I go, I'll prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. I know the Word of God. But let me tell you that the decisions that I make and you make also can impact the length of our days on this earth. I know many people have this opinion that whatever is going to be is going to be, and whatever date is on the calendar for you to go home, God knows that date, and He does. But just because God knows that date does not mean that God is forcing the play and God is manipulating sickness and disease against you, because that is contrary to the Word of God. The Word of God says the thief has come but for to kill, steal, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. As I look through the Word of God, I find that the Word of God tells us in the early chapters of Genesis of individuals living to be 930 years old, to be 950 years old. We see Methuselah, we see these who lived a long time. And then in Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, God said that the days of men would be shortened. Remember all the sin. And that they would be 120 days. And then I read in Psalm chapter 90, verse 10, where it says that our days would be 70. And with strength, maybe even a little more, maybe to 80, right? And then I read in Psalm 91:16, where we just read this morning, where God says that He will bless us with a long life. A long life. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean when the Word of God says that God will bless us with a long life? Well, let me suggest some things that I believe it does not say. I believe it is not saying that you should leave this earth with your house out of order. If God blesses you with a long life, then you should have a blessed, purposeful life. In fact, if I was going to put a title on the message today, I would call it Prospering in Your Purpose. The plan of God to prosper us in our purpose. Living a long life means that Satan is not in charge of my life. Satan is not in charge of your life. Satan did not strong arm you to keep you down. He may have tried, but he does not have the authority to do that as a child of God. You're a child of God. And so God has called us to fulfill God's purposes in our life. Now, I will remind you, I'm not going to go back through all the notes of a couple weeks ago, there's difference between vision and purpose. The prophets had vision. Isaiah looked ahead and he saw the Messiah. The prophets could see, some of them could even give the message of where Jesus would be born. They didn't live in that day, but yet they had vision by the Spirit of God to prophetically declare things that would not happen in their lifetime. Vision. Some of you have vision for your children. I trust you all have vision for your children. I trust we all have vision for if you have grandchildren and for your family after that. I trust that as Abraham had a covenant for his children into future generations, that you will have vision for your children and future generations if Jesus so tarries. We should have vision in this manner. Abraham believed God, that what God was giving him would not disappear with him, but that it would continue and be passed to his children. How many of you know that Israel as a nation stands as a great testimony against every plan of the devil to destroy them? And so when you think of Abraham, what do we say? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, and the God of Jonathan, and the God of Ruddy, and the God of John, the God of Ben this morning, He is our God too. He is a covenant-keeping God. And so I understand that vision by the Spirit may reach out and go many generations. I believe when the Word of God says that the sins of the Father by the enemy would desire to replicate to the third and the fourth generation. But when you read those passages, you're going to see that there is a different promise to the righteous. And it says to the righteous, it will go to 1,000 generations. Now somebody had to have some faith and vision to believe God for 1,000 generations. So if the enemy is attacking generation 1, 2, 3, and 4, but the blood of Jesus Christ has canceled the assignment of the devil, then we should be standing in the blessing and promise of God to 1,000 generations. I don't know where I am in that outreach, in that stretch of God's mercy and God's grace, but I know this, that somebody in my heritage, someone back in my background, someone was praying, somebody was believing God long before my father and my mother ever were invited to a revival. Already there was prayer and there was mission and there was vision and there was purpose and there was intention by a holy God. And God had the plans for a George and a Grace McLean to be invited to a revival meeting where they would surrender their lives to Christ. But that wasn't the end of the story. God had plans that out of the five children, as Mama would say, she said, I didn't give birth to one to populate hell. All of my children are going to populate heaven. You may say, I don't believe that. Well, my mom would say, you can believe whatever you want to, but I believe that God gave me my children to populate heaven. She prayed that way all the way up till the end. Even with Alzheimer's, Mom stood on the Word of God. I mentioned my friend Jack, who had vision to build our buildings on Willoughby, who prayed and desired to be a part of the group of contractors that would make that happen. Jack had vision. It was big vision. It was so big that a lot of people thought that it was impossible. But that word God gave me when I went to see Jack Mecca was, Jack, if you get close enough to God, you'll start seeing more like God. And the more you begin to see like God, the further you will see the things that God is planning to do. And Jack was disappointed in some ways that he realized he was not going to be able to physically do some of the things that he saw God was going to do. But I said, Jack, it's just a testimony that you've been hanging out in the tent of meeting with God, and God has given you understanding by the Spirit to apply to the natural, and you're seeing things that haven't yet taken place. Abraham was able to call things that were not as though they were. You and I need to be calling things that are not yet as they were already. I speak that way over my son Andrew, that he is healed and he is whole. It was accomplished 2,000 years ago through the completed work of Jesus Christ. You can speak to your body, I speak to my body, and tell it to shut up and listen to the word of the Lord. I get up in the morning and there may be creaks, and there may be various things going on in my body, but let me tell you what else is going on. There is a promise and a covenant, and there is a living word that goes on inside of our lives, and we need to get up and begin to stand up and begin to shout out what God has said and stand on His word and say, whatever this old house is thinking or feeling or experiencing or whatever is going on around me does not change the reality of who my God is. I stand here this morning because words of faith were prayed over me and spoken over me long before I had any interest in God. Some of you may know what it means to be the black sheep, to be the rebel, to be the rotten apple. I was called all kinds of wonderful things like that. And the school I attended, the Christian school I attended, on more than one occasion, the president of that college, after a board meeting, and it was not with a group of people, it was with the board, and he would have a conversation with me, and he would say, Jonathan, I have been advised to remove you from the school. Every counselor, every board member has spoken that you are a hindrance to this Christian school. But he said, Jonathan, one day is going to come. Now, these are words of life. He said, one day is going to come, Jonathan, when you are going to come to truth and you are going to declare the Word of God. God has plans for you, Jonathan, and one day you will step into them. I'm here in part today because somebody believed the Word of God was more powerful than the rebellion in my life. The disregard that was in my life for truth. I was doing everything I could to push away and to run in my own direction. But the Word of God was being spoken. Listen, church, we must receive the Word of God and declare it. Believe it. And do not let all hell shake it from you. Vision. I have vision for my nation. I have vision for the Treasure Coast. I have vision for Martin County. I have vision for pastors. I have vision for a gymnasium to be filled with the body of Christ, with thousands on the Treasure Coast that are standing in revival fire. I've seen in the Spirit what God desires to do. I haven't yet seen it with my eyes. But Harriet, I've seen it with spiritual eyes and spiritual understanding. And let me tell you, once you have seen things in the Spirit, it is more powerful and more absolute than anything you can ever see with the natural eye. I remember one day someone asking me about my religious life. And I told them that I was not just a religious person, that God had changed me. And I remember looking at that boss and saying, God at this very moment is more real to me than you are. I can see you with my natural eyes, but every cell in my body is full of the life that God gives me. Church, God is calling us in the midst of the darkness to be pregnant with the light and the life of God and the Word of God. To where the life that is in us and the light that is in us is so much greater than the darkness that would seek to attack us. Vision. Vision. Oh, I remember the days after God had given us the property and there was a campaign in the church. Some of you may remember, and the plan was to spend a couple $100 and buy a button maker and buy the press that would make these buttons that would say, "Sell the Swamp." I remember the day when I had my board said, we have to sell off half the property on Central Parkway because we need the money to pay the bills. Listen, do not let the enemy put you in a headlock to make you think that your God is penniless, that your God does not know how to take care of you, that your God is not on the throne. Don't let the lies and the threats of the devil against you and your family convince you that God is not able. Let me tell you, God is not only able, God will fulfill His Word. Many of those board members today are already with Jesus. And I was so upset about that. I remembered, when you prayed and believed God and God has answered prayer and someone doesn't have the vision that you have, it can be frustrating. And I had to apologize to my board and say, you can put it up for sale, do anything you want to do. But what they didn't know was I went back to my quiet place of prayer. And I said, "God, You gave it to us. And until You say it's time to go, it's not going to go. And they can list it with the best realtors and can put the lowest price on it. But if it's not Your will and it's not Your time, it's not going to sell." And not one person came during the whole listing to look at the property or even inquire. But I remember the day when the board was struggling to, do we stay here? Do we move? Do we do this? Do we do that? That happens up here, not up there. When churches have arguments and disagreements, and they can't figure out which way to go, that's going on in here. It's not going on up there. And God didn't call us to be a democratic organization. We're called to be a holy organization that's set apart unto God. We are called to seek His face until all of us hear what He's saying. And I remember saying, "Father, how do I work with this board and what do I say?" And the Father said, "They're all people of faith. Just ask them if they can come into agreement that nothing is listed. You come up with a price for everything. You lay it before the Lord. We don't get realtors. We don't do anything. We put it in the Lord's hands. And then we say, 'Father, whatever You want to have sold, You bring a buyer. We have a price. You bring a buyer.'" And that same piece of land that was on the market for a year plus that no one ever even looked at, in 2 weeks, someone walked in the office and said, "Are you interested in selling this property? If you are interested, what would the price be?" I said, "Well, the price would be this." He said, "A done deal." Done deal. No realtors, no marketing, only God. Listen, we need to understand that God knows every little detail of our lives, and He knows exactly how to get us from where we are to where we need to go. Vision. Vision. And I should just let you know, if you didn't catch it last week, that the plumber has completed enough work on our property that we can move ahead with development. We now have water on our land at the fire hydrant. And so that's what we were really waiting on. We have the water on the land now. You can pray for me to get the draw request together and to get the paperwork in order and to get the schedule in place, because we're ready to move ahead with site development. And so we give God praise for that. And, amen. Give the Lord praise. Give the Lord praise. And over the years, I've had people tell me, Pastor, don't you wish you had stayed where you were? Listen, if you've heard from God, you'll never wish you stayed where you were when you're walking on with God. Because I know what God has for us is so much better than anything we could have ever had. And so we need to encourage ourselves in the Lord. Vision versus assignment. You know, when Luella Rogers prayed for her knothead Bob, who had no interest in God, but he loved to curse and swear. But she never stopped praying. She put up, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Luella, she went on to heaven, and it would be a couple weeks later before Bob fell and broke his neck and was pronounced dead and on life support, and God raised him back up. Some of you remember Bob Rogers. And then God would, after they said he was without oxygen too long, he's on a machine, there's no life in him, God would give him back his life, and God would give him back the opportunities to pray the sinner's prayer. And he prayed that prayer many times, but he prayed it up here, and it was not in here. And Gil, you were the one that talked to me and said, Pastor, I believe we need to pray and believe God to do a little more in Bob Rogers. I'll never forget that morning in devotions when God said, I want you to go see Bob Rogers. And I want you to tell Bob Rogers about the picture of the artist that painted the door of the heart, but there was no handle on the outside. Simple, simple picture. Probably all of you have seen it. And tell Bob Rogers that God is not going to force the door open from the outside, but if he will just open up his heart and believe. Open up his heart and believe. And that morning, you see, Luella could see by faith. She didn't get to see it on this earth, but by faith she could see it. She called it done. She always told me. She said, the doctors say that I'm full of cancer. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. The doctors say I'm dying. I say that I'm full of life. And one day God's going to deliver me from this body and I'm going to live forever. God is in charge of my life. I'll live as long as He wants me to live. Death has no claim over me whatsoever. And Luella would sit in her chair and she would declare over her husband, he will serve the Lord. And Bob Rogers came and he served the Lord with us. And I have his testimony, and Bob is with the Lord today.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. This program is aired each Sunday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stewart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly.